Today we celebrate mums everywhere, don't we, on Mother's Day. One thing I have observed is that it does tend to come very naturally to us to celebrate babies and to celebrate new life in our society. But it's when celebrating old life, celebrating the elderly, that doesn't come quite so naturally to us. And I saw on BBC News this week an article which kind of highlighted to me just how easy we must find it to celebrate babies. You might have seen it. It was titled, I paid £160 for a pair of limited edition nappies. And it's talking about how for some parents, washable nappies, which they exist to be eco-friendly, so they're created so they're better for the environment, but they've now become like an obsession with some parents, and so you've got to get all the different patterns and all the different brands of washable nappies. And the obsession, which, I mean, the beady eye may be able to see at the bottom, is known as cloth bumming. In inside circles is what it's called. I don't know why that is. But it's led to some parents, like, so the mum of this baby, having huge collections of nappies, which you can see in the background. All those things are nappies that have been stacked up so beautifully, and a willingness to pay £160 for a pair of limited edition nappies. And I mean, I can tell you from very current and first hand experience that nappies are gross. Like, nappies are not something to be excited about in any way. But we live in a world where collecting nappies can be cool. And this lady's got a big Instagram following because of the amazing nappy collection that she's got. And I think that is because we find it so easy to celebrate babies, because babies are so cute and lovely, and so it's easy to celebrate them, even to the point we're willing to celebrate their underwear. We don't find it quite so easy to celebrate the elderly. The elderly, they're not celebrated, they're not doted over in anything like the same way in our culture. And we can reach this really tragic place where children are a joy and our parents are a nuisance. And today I want to talk about honouring parents, honouring your fathers and mothers, and in that just honouring the older as well within our world, honouring the elderly in general. So we're talking about honouring our own parents, but also kind of by extension other people's parents as well. And often when it comes to Mother's Day, we preach into the experience of parenting. And obviously that's good, but today I want to talk less about parenting and more kind of about childrening, as it were, from an adult's perspective. I'm conscious that today can be a very difficult day for many people here, either because it is Mother's Day or because we're doing baby Thanksgivings. So if you've lost a mother, or if you have a difficult relationship with your mum, then maybe you never even knew your mum, today could prompt very painful memories for you. Or possibly you can't have children for any reason, or you're at least struggling to have children, which will likely make today a difficult day. Maybe you've lost a child at any age, that could be, in which case today is certainly going to be tough for you. I mean, you could struggle on days like this for any number of reasons, and it's important to know just in that God knows our struggles. He cares for us. He loves us. He knows our pains. And while understanding that today might be difficult for some, I do believe there is a message here for all of us around how honouring our parents, so both our own parents and also other people's parents, those generally older than us, and also thanking God for our children, again, both our own and also others, how both those things are ultimately a way for us to honour God himself. And as I say, I'm going to be focusing today on honouring parents and generally the older, which is something I think all of us can take something from. And there's also a hope in it all as well. As believers in the Bible, there is a hope, even for those for whom this might be very difficult. There's a hope for us in Jesus, and we'll see that later as we get through. You might know that honour your father and mother is one of the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses in the Old Testament. So it's the fifth of the Ten Commandments. It's the fifth. And the first four are all about how God's people should interact with God himself. And then the rest are about how God's people should relate to other people. So this commandment is kind of the first of the six about how we relate to other people. And then, as well as being there, referenced twice in the New Testament, it's mentioned in Ephesians, where Paul, he's talking about how young people should relate to their parents. And I'm sure that in all of our kids' groups this morning, our children are being taught to honour their parents and respect them. and then the other time it's mentioned in the New Testament, Jesus mentions it in Matthew 15. And that's where we're going to be basing ourselves for our time this morning. So if you have a Bible, then why don't you grab it out? Or if you've got on your phone or iPad or whatever, then why don't you grab that out? If you haven't got a Bible with you this morning, then you can just stick your hand in the air and we'll bring one to you. And if you don't own one, then you can have that Bible that you take this morning. But we're going to be in Matthew chapter 15. I'm going to be reading the first kind of 9 verses or so. Jesus is talking about how adults should honour their parents and the elderly in general. So I think it's good for us as adults to look at how we should honour our parents. I also think it's also be fair to say the Ten Commandments are generally primarily for adults. So, you know, don't murder, honour the Sabbath, don't commit adultery. These are generally for adults. I mean, unless adultery, you think that means acting like an adult, in which case it would be for children. Has anyone ever thought of that word before? Adultery? No? It does sound like it, doesn't it? At least give me that. All right. Matthew 15, 1 to 9. Let's read. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Just to clarify, their concern is to do with religious ritual. It's not so much about hygiene there. It's about them breaking religious ritual. And Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father and mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." I mean, Jesus is harsh sometimes. I just think, wow, how did he get this reputation as a nice guy? But what's going on here is that the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, are trying to condemn Jesus for not keeping to their traditions and washing their hands before they eat, one of their traditions. But in the end, Jesus actually ends up condemning them. Jesus attacks them for two things. Firstly, Jesus attacks them for elevating their traditions above Scripture. So they've created their own traditions, own things that they should do, and they would sometimes prioritize these over what God himself had called them to do. And with things like that, it's always easy for us to judge, isn't it? We think, oh, stupid Pharisees. But I'm sure we're more guilty of it than we realize. And then the second thing that Jesus attacked them for was they were elevating their works over what was in their heart. And in the heart of a person, Jesus says, even if you are doing all the right stuff on the outside, your hearts are far from God. And that is what matters. And again, easy for us to judge, but I'm sure we're more guilty of it than we realize in certain things. But in talking about these two things, the example that Jesus used to make his point was talking about honoring your father and mother. And that's how Jesus said that they were not honoring Scripture or serving God from the heart, because they were not honoring their parents. They developed this human tradition that said, if you decide to devote your money to God for the building of the temple, then you're exempt from using it to provide for your father and your mother. And in making that tradition, they're contravening the very words of God. And here's the cruncher that I want us to focus on this morning. If these first century Jews in the Middle East were not honouring their parents, then we 21st century Brits are certainly not doing a great job of honouring our parents in our culture. And I'm not ranting here. I'm not just saying, oh, we're rubbish. But I'm just observing that our culture does not naturally honour parents or honour the older in a way that most other cultures do. Old age tends to be despised rather than revered in our culture. I think you could go to almost any non-Western culture in the world today, and it would be hard to argue against the fact that they do a better job of honouring the elderly than we do. Nearly every other non-Western culture esteems age rather than despises it. And you'd probably, I think, you could go through almost any culture in history and find the same thing as well. So what I want to do is I'm going to look at a bunch of reasons why I think our culture struggles to honour parents in a natural way and honour the elderly. And then I'm going to talk about some practical ways that we can be countercultural as God's people and we can honour our parents in a different way. And full disclaimer right up here this morning, a lot of this is taken directly from a preach that I heard from a guy called Andrew Wilson, who many of you will know, and he's going to be at West Point this year, so get along there and listen to him. But I thought it was very challenging and a provoking one. So firstly, why does our culture struggle to honour parents and those older? What are some reasons? And again, as we look at these, I'm not ranting about how rubbish our culture is. I'm just observing it and helping us to see, so we can see where are we vulnerable to not honouring our parents and not honouring the elder. Firstly, we are an egalitarian culture. So we're a culture where everyone's viewpoint is as valid as anyone else's. And this is obviously not necessarily a bad thing, but I just think it's something that probably contributes to not honouring age naturally in our culture. So in our society, the vote of an 18-year-old who doesn't know how to cook spaghetti has exactly the same amount of value as the vote of someone who remembers rationing after the war. And it's not to say that that's a bad thing, but it does communicate something to our culture. It does reveal something, and you think, okay, so any opinion is as valid as anyone else's, regardless of what experience you have or haven't had. And I think that contributes to our culture's understanding when it comes to age. Pretty simple one, that one. Also, we're a progressive culture, which means that youth is the future and exciting, and youth is where we should put all of our energy, and old age is the past and old news. So we're all about the survival of the fittest. If you're no longer the fittest, or if you're never going to be in the future, then you can be sidelined and you can be forgotten about. So we don't esteem the elderly, but we hide them away in care homes and other places. And one interesting observation is that the only time that we do celebrate the old is when they look and act like the young. So we're obsessed with looking young. We say things like, doesn't she look amazing for her age? She's quite old, but she looks quite young. Isn't that amazing? And we have, you know, plastic surgery and Botox and people doing silly things to their faces in a vain attempt to look young and to not look as old as they are. Here's just a really insightful quote which I read from a guy called Glenn Scrivener. And I read it, I thought it was really insightful and helpful, so I just thought I'd share it. Undeniably, we have a cult of youth, while at the same time we keep the elderly and the dying out of sight, out of mind. On my social media feeds, the only time I hear of the elderly is when they act like young people. So occasionally, there's the story of the 70-year-old marathon runner, or the 80-year-old break dancer, or the 90-year-olds into speed dating. And we say, aren't these old people inspiring? What we fail to add, but what we undeniably mean, is when they act like 20-year-olds. We don't prize the elderly for the qualities traditionally associated with them, wisdom and experience. No, but when they muster up the vigour to ape our youthful trends, then we'll pay attention briefly. So true, so insightful. It's certainly my social media feed. I'm not saying that getting old is easy and that as we get older, you know, we just need to deal with it. But I am saying that our culture makes it particularly difficult to get old by celebrating youth so much and not celebrating the older among us. We all know that we live in an individualistic society. So the community isn't celebrated because it is all about your own right as an individual. We live isolated lives where there's no need for the community. So young people rarely come into contact with those older than them and vice versa. And this all contributes to our understanding. We, as a church, we're quite conscious of this. And so with our students and 20s ministry, we do recognise the benefit of young people having their own community and having people who are like-minded and of a similar age and generation to them. But we also encourage our students to get involved in wider church life and to join life groups where there are older people in as well as younger people. And I know from my own experience, certainly, how much I have benefited so richly by immersing myself in the wider church life and making a deliberate point of making sure there are older people in my life groups as well as younger people, because it's good to get into the community of different ages. We are, as a society, we are tech obsessed. I am better at using new technology than my dad is. And my dad is pretty tech savvy. He's quite good He's pretty good with tech. And currently, at the moment, I am also better than my four-year-old at using technology. But I am counting down the years before he is teaching me how to use new tech. The more dependent we become on new technology and the more obsessed we become with it, the more we embrace youth and reject the old. Also, we are beauty. We're money obsessed. Our culture is all about who has the most money and who can build for the future. And so that contributes to it. We are beauty obsessed. And I've kind of touched on that one, how we all are so desperate to look young and beautiful. I worked a few years ago, I worked for a couple of years in a care home for the elderly. And I mean, that was just hugely valuable life experience for me to do that. And I think we can sometimes just try, we get so caught up in the lies of this world that we try to deny the fact that the elderly are less physically beautiful than the young. And it can even sound offensive to say that the elderly are less physically beautiful. But you just got to get the worldview right in our minds. The second thing that Jesus condemns the Pharisees for here was caring about the outside more than caring about what is in the heart. Yeah, they might be less physically beautiful, but that does not mean they are less valuable to society or to anything in any way. Our culture esteems physical beauty way over it esteems inward heart beauty. And so we don't naturally esteem the old because they may not be as physically beautiful as the young. And one more, the last one, which I'm sure actually is the most significant of all the factors, is that our culture has absolutely no hope when it comes to death. Getting old is something people fear because it points to death, for which there is no hope in our culture's worldview. People have no idea what to do with death. So we hide away anything that reminds us of it, including old people. Now, for the Christian, for us, hope is totally different. Absolutely upside down to that. For us, the closer we get to death, the greater the hope. For us, there is huge hope beyond death because of all that Jesus has done for us. He has conquered death himself. So we, far from needing to fear death, we can embrace the hope that it gives us of new life and the resurrection. And I am mindful of older Christians I have known who have approached death and have now died, and the way they managed to do that, holding firm to such hope, hugely inspiring and God-honoring in the way that Christians can approach death in a hope-filled way. As a Christian community, our hope that we have after this, it should radically transform how we view getting older ourselves and also how we treat those who are getting older around us. So there's some reasons that it doesn't come naturally to our culture to honour parents and honour age in general. But how can we do it then? What are some practical ways that we as the people of God can be countercultural and how we can honour our parents in our society? I've got five practical things that we can all do. Firstly, forgive them. Now this, it might be a slightly surprising one for you, but I do think there is an important and a powerful point here. No one in this room, or indeed any room anywhere, has perfect parents. And perhaps the most important way we can honour our parents is to forgive them. Even the very best parents will have said things or done things which will have affected their children in a negative way. And as parents, that's hard for us to accept, isn't it? But it's an undeniable truth. It may be that your parents said something to you or maybe put you in a box somehow or caricatured you in some way, which parents love to do, don't we? I mean, I do it as a parent. We love to caricature our children and summarise their behaviour. And something like that could have left you deeply scarred, could have left you quite hurt. I think the older we get, the more we're able to see our parents' failings from our childhood. We experience life, we can see through it a bit more. It may be for you that forgiving your parents is about the most difficult thing that you could ever do. You could have been a victim of abuse in a really significant way. And so for you, it might be that this is really the only application you need from this message this morning. Maybe you blame your parents for your current circumstances in any way. Whatever your situation is, forgiving your parents is an important way to honour them. And I think forgiving your parents is particularly important for you if your parents have died or if you are estranged from them in some way. I mean, it certainly doesn't make it easier, but I think it makes it probably particularly important. And you need to hear what I'm saying. When I say this, I'm not saying that what they have done is okay and that you just need to get over it. In fact, I'm saying quite the opposite. In saying that you need to forgive them, for you to forgive someone, first you have to acknowledge that what they have done is wrong and not okay and that they need forgiveness for it. So in forgiving your parents for something they've done, you condemn the act, you condemn what they have done, but you do not condemn the person. Condemn what they've done and acknowledge that it is wrong and then forgive them for it and don't hold it against them. This might mean that it would be good for you to go and speak to your parents in some way and talk to them if that's possible for you to do. But really, I think it's mainly just a heart thing. It's something in your heart. Again, one of the main points in this passage is your what's in your heart that matters. Forgive your parents from your heart. And I think that's an important way to honour them. Secondly, speak well of them. We live in a world where it's considered noble to air our grievances, when it's considered kind of therapeutic to just air our dirty laundry for anyone to see. We find it easy to tell the world exactly what we think of our boss, or exactly what we think of our government, or exactly what we think of our parents. But it matters how we talk about our parents. And speaking well of them and not speaking evil of them is a key way to honour them. And that's also the case for the parents of our spouses as well, our in-laws. It matters how we speak of them. We need to talk positively about them while they're alive and also after they've died. The Bible is clear that our words are powerful. They have the ability to extend honour or extend dishonour. And in the Old Testament, it's interesting to note that the penalty for cursing your parents was the same as the penalty for physically abusing your parents, for physically assaulting them. We need to speak well of our parents to one another. We need to speak well of our parents to our siblings, to our spouses, it's certainly important that if we have children ourselves, then that we talk well of our parents around our children. The fact is that as we grow up, we imitate our parents more and more, even though we sometimes wish it was less and less. And we need to realize that the way that we talk about our parents now in front of our children is exactly how our children will talk about us in front of their children. Speak well of your mum and dad. Refuse to speak evil of them. That is a way to honor them. 3, seek their wisdom. So I am a relatively young man. It's my 30th this year. So I feel God has called me to a place of leadership within the local church. And I believe that God has equipped me with absolutely everything that I need in order to do what I'm doing now in acting as an elder of Grace Church. With that said, I am still very aware that there is plenty I can learn from those who have experienced life for longer than I have. And my own parents, they haven't experienced church leadership like I have and like I do, but there's still plenty that I can learn from them. I've been alive for 29 years. They've been alive for 62 and 63 years, respectively. I have been a parent for 4 years. They've been parents for 38 years and now grandparents for 9 years. They have experienced more life than I have, and I can learn from their experiences. Old people might not be able to run as far as young people, but it says in Proverbs 20:29, the glory of young men is their strength, grey hair the splendour of the old. The age and wisdom of the old, far from being something to hide away from, is their splendour. So if you've got grey hair, don't begrudge it. It is your splendour. It is your splendour. I've got the huge privilege as well, myself, of sharing an office with Steve Blaber, who Steve is another elder here at Grace Church. He's in his 60s. And I have a lot of fun with him. He's really easy to wind up, so it's good fun sharing an office with him. But also, I am genuinely hugely grateful for that opportunity to just chat to him about absolutely anything and just suck in as much of his deep wisdom and experience as I can. And last week as well, I was on a day of leadership training from and guy doing it was a guy called John Hosier, who has been a key man in the family of churches that we've being part of, and he was doing leadership lessons I have learned in 50 years of serving the church. And it's just immensely valuable for me to just take in as much of that as I can. Huge wisdom to be honoured and to be sought after. And Tim Keller, he's a pastor in New York. He said something I think really helpful on this. He encourages children to respect their parents' need to see themselves in you. Parents long to see how they have impacted their children and how their children are a reflection of their strengths and values. My kids, they're 2 and 4, and even I do this all the time. I'm obsessed with kind of spotting things in their behavior, which I think they picked up from me, even if it's just like how they sit on a sofa or how they lean against the wall. I'm just like, oh, he's leaning against the wall like I do. And we just love to do stuff like that. When we tell our parents about things we have learned from them and their wisdom, that hugely blesses them and honours them. We often naturally do the opposite. Again, we say things like, oh, I'm becoming more like my mum every day, as if like that is exclusively a bad thing. There's often a lot to thank God for in stuff like that. Number 4, provide for them. This is the obvious application of the passage. The Pharisees weren't honouring their parents because they weren't providing for them financially. And the Apostle Paul just goes all out on this one. He says to his mate Timothy in a letter, anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Serious stuff. Now, the thing is for this one, that for many of us, this is practically very hard for us to do. In a world with pensions and where house prices have done what they've done over the last 50 years or so, it can often feel for young people like we're just never going to get to a point where we have more money than our parents such that they are dependent upon us financially. And I also think, incidentally, that might be another reason why our culture struggles to honour parents because it's not as necessary for us to provide for them in old age, then that affects other ways that we don't honour them either. And so in other cultures, you have no choice, but your parents in old age live with you and you care for them. And just we live in a different world today, which makes it maybe more difficult. Now, that said, I am sure that this is a possible and a helpful application for some this morning. You know, your parents may need financial support. You can give it to them. Christians should be more than happy to give it to them. Or another way I think it might work itself out is that our parents are able to fund their own care in old life where necessary, but it is at the cost of our inheritance. And we should be more than happy for that to be the case. We shouldn't begrudge our parents for spending our inheritance on their own care in old age. That can at least be the way that we provide for our parents financially. It's hardly a great sacrifice, is it? Not getting their money is one way for us to provide for them. And then fifthly, support them. Not just financially, but emotionally and relationally. Everyone needs this. King David prayed in Psalm 71, he said, "Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone." As much as we say that we should not be ashamed of getting old or pretend it isn't happening, that isn't to say that it is easy to get old. As we age, you know, more and more people that we know die around us. We see more and more of all that's dark in this world. And people not only get lonely, but they fear getting lonely. And both those things are difficult to work through. We must never abandon our parents. And we should tell them that too, so that they don't live in fear of being alone. That's talking about the elderly and dependent. But we can also do it before our parents reach that stage. I mean, I feel challenged on this, as probably 90% of men here may do too. We can all support and honour our parents by just talking to them. I don't know, sending them a picture or giving them an update on our lives, which we feel is totally pointless, but means a lot to our parents. So, men, let's try and make it so that we are not relying on our wives to keep our relationship with our mothers going, and that we don't need them to tell us to call them on Mother's Day or whatever it is. Again, I'm not saying that I'm nailing that. By the cards. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Liz, for that. Thank you so much for that. Again, I feel challenged on it. Of course, it's not just for men, though. We can all support our parents and the parents of others, and we can honour them in doing that. Ultimately, what parents are looking for is relationship. Being there for them, selflessly loving them. That is a massive way to bless them and honour them. The Bible makes a big thing of honouring our parents. We could ask this question, I think. When you say it's a huge thing, as I say in the Bible, it's the fifth commandment. But one question you can ask is, why does the commandment not just say, honour one another? Why is there the emphasis on parents? And I think that the most likely answer to that is because in any given culture, it seems that there is a strong link between how we view our parents and how we view God. So let me explain that and break it down for a little bit for us. In cultures where parents are generally viewed as stern and authoritarian, God is also generally seen that way. And it's particularly the case as well, I think, for how the father figure is viewed in the family. So you think of Victorian England and the way parents, and in particular the fathers, were generally perceived as authoritarian and distant and somewhat emotionless figures. Children would behave out of fear of their father's wrath. And the general view of God was along those lines as well. Everyone went to church, but out of a fear of a wrathful God who was seen as stern and authoritarian. But in cultures like ours today, there is not much respect for authority in general. And there's a low level of distinction between children and their parents. So parents probably are often willing to have a bit more fun with their children than the Victorian parents were. But children often see themselves as on the same level as their parents. And the view of God in our society is tied to that. So that there is a low level of distinction between creator and creation. And we're all, you know, we're all divine beings. We're all the same as God. We find ourselves saying things like, if I were God, I wouldn't do that. We find it easy to question and confront God and his character. There's very little fear of God, and all his authority has collapsed in our society. So there's a link between how we view our parents and how we view God. But the truth is that God is neither the distant and authoritarian one that we should fear and stay away from, nor is he the collapsed one who's lost any authority that he had. The truth is that God is the one who holds all authority over the entire universe, and he is also the one who is a perfectly intimate and close father. He's awesome and he is affectionate. He's holy and he's happy. He's Lord of everything and he is love to us. This is only possible because of Jesus, that we can experience God in this way, because of what Jesus has done. God is holy and he's pure, and we're sinners. We can't even live up to our own standards as parents or as children or as people in general, let alone live up to God's standards. So we don't deserve to come into his presence. But God chooses to show undeserved compassion to us and is even willing to pay any price necessary to bring us back into relationship with him, including the cost of his own son for us. And so Jesus perfectly honored his father and went to the cross and took the punishment for our sin that we deserved, in order that we could come back to God and approach him as our own father and sing songs like, "Boldly I approach the throne of God." And now those who have put their trust in Jesus, we certainly have total respect for God and his awesome majesty and authority, and we can also approach him as a child approaches a loving dad, and he comes and he ruffles our hair and he enjoys our company and he gives us gift after gift after gift. And this is the hope for all of us, including those of us for whom Mother's Day or baby Thanksgivings can be quite difficult. So we hold up our children and other people's children and we enjoy them and we thank God for them, and we find deep and meaningful joy from the knowledge that that is exactly what our loving and intimate Father does with us, what God does with us, his children. And we give daffodils to our mums, we respect and honour them, and just as we honour and respect God for his wisdom and authority over us, we respect our parents. So as parents to our children, we ruffle their hair, we take great joy in them, and in doing that we are treating them as God treats us. But as children to our parents, we honour them, we treat them as different to ourselves, and in doing that we're honouring and respecting God and his authority over us. So as Christian sons and daughters, we honour and respect God, and we enjoy him, and we love to be in his presence. If the band could come up as we look to respond, and why don't we all stand as well. I think this is where I want to kind of focus in as we do respond. We come to God as Christians. We come like children come to their father. And as we worship him, we enjoy him as our father, and we respect his authority over us. We honor him. And so as we honor our parents, we honor God. As we love our children, we honor God. There is a hope for every one of us. And I think we're going to worship, we're going to sing in a moment. I think it'd be good, maybe there are some here actually, for that, give your parents is a big thing for you, and a thing that you think actually you need freedom. Maybe it's not necessarily that they did something, you know, hugely difficult for you, or that is, you know, we would be see as horrendous, but it may have affected you in a significant way. And I think it'd be good for there to be freedom this morning as we honour our parents by forgiving them. So I think it's a sensitive issue. So I'm just going to pray generally for those of us for whom that is the case. And if it is you, then pray along with me. And in your heart, just make that conscious decision to forgive your parents. And if you want to chat about that, then we're happy to do that. We'll chat with you afterwards or pray with you a bit more afterwards. But again, I think it's just a decision to make in your heart to forgive. So let me pray. Why don't we all close our eyes? And if that is you, then just really pray with me and own this prayer for yourselves. Father, thank you so much that you are a perfect Father. You're in all authority. You're creator of the entire universe. You are the sustainer of the universe. You're in control of all things. And yet you're not distant. You're not harsh. You are gracious and kind and compassionate. You are whole. You're complete. You are a perfect Father, a perfect parent to us. We worship you, Lord God, and we want to serve you in any way we can. We want to honour our parents. We want to be those who honour our parents and worship you in doing that. And so I pray, Lord, for those here who struggle to forgive their parents and honour their parents in that way. Lord, I pray, would you come and bring freedom this morning? And I pray on behalf of us. We do. We forgive our parents. We know they're not perfect. We know they have all done things which will have affected us negatively. But those of us who are really carrying things, we say we forgive them, Lord God. Those here who are struggling, help them to make that conscious decision in their heart, I pray, Lord, to forgive their parents, to honour their parents in that way, to honour you in that way, Lord God. Thank you that you forgive us. What is our driver to be compassionate? What is our driver to be honourable to our parents? It is your grace to us. It is your unending mercy to forgive and to forgive and to forgive us. We have been forgiven much. I pray, help us to forgive our parents, Lord, for the sake of your glory. Amen. Amen. Let's worship God as our Father who is in all authority and yet loves us eternally.